Okay, we're talking about a really, really important, I guess you would say, question. It's a really important question which emerges from a Tosfos in Maseches Yevamos. We're going to understand what Tosfos says. We'll note other Rishonim that seem to say it. And then we'll see two Mehalchim in Bali Machshava and the way that they explain it, each based on, I think, some very fundamental Yesodos. One Mehalch is going to be Shlomo Fisher and Drashas Beis Yishai. The way that he explains it, based on the Yisod that I think we've seen a little bit of, but a very, very important Yisod. And the other is going to be a Mahalach that begins with the Maharal, and then Rav Hartman takes really much further. Those of us that are from, I guess, London, or Hasmo at least, will, I guess, have some sort of a connection. This Bacher is giving me Musa right now because he called me this morning. I then used the phone call to ask like three or four questions I had about whatever I had questions about, and then before he could explain even why he called, I just said, oh, I have to go right now. So now he just was making fun of me from the distance, and it's all accurate. Okay, so the Gemara here in Maseches Yevamos and Daf Ayin Aleph is talking about the following question. The Gemara is fascinated by the fact that Klal Yisrael, throughout their time in the Midbar, was not Mekayim the mitzvah of Bris Milah, at least for a lot of the time that they were in the Midbar. Klal Yisrael did not fulfill the mitzvah of Bris Milah. The Gemara at one point there goes to comment against the Gemara Yevamos on Daf Ayin Beis. The Gemara says part of it was Kol Osen Arba'im Shana Shehayu Yisrael B'Midbar Lo Nishbalhem Ruach Tzfonis. There was a certain kind of wind that didn't come the 40 years that they were there. The Gemara wonders why exactly wasn't that wind present. That seems to have been important. So my taima ibayzema mishum dinizufim havu. It's because B'nai Yisrael, at that particular time, were being scolded. That B'nai Yisrael messed up. B'nai Yisrael sinned. B'nai Yisrael violated a particular Aveira. And as a result of that, their Ribono Shel Olam was punishing them. Their Ribono Shel Olam was taking it out on them. All as a result of this particular activity of some sin that they performed. What sin was it that generated? What sin was it that made their Ribono Shel Olam be upset at Klal Yisrael throughout their time in the Midbar? So Rashi says in Maseches Yevamos, be Maisa Ha'egel. Chet Ha'egel, that was the terrible chet, that was the terrible sin, and that's the reason why Klal Yisrael were being scolded, that's the reason why Klal Yisrael were being punished throughout their time in the Midbar, because of the terrible chet of Chet Ha'egel. Okay, Parsh Kisisa, we're not that far away. Tosfos, however, in contrast, if you look in Tosfos, Nizufin Hayu, Amar Rabbeinu Yitzchak, Mimaisa Miraglim. The reason why Klal Yisrael were being scolded, the reason why Klal Yisrael were being punished, the reason why their Ribono Shel Olam was upset at them throughout their time, Kivyachal, throughout their time in the Midbar, was because of the Maisa Miraglim. Says Tosfos, what about Chet HaEgel? Why wasn't that the activity that generated a particular response? Why wasn't that the big problem? He says, no, Lokomosha Perish Kuntris Mishum Maisa Egel. Because Baruch Hu forgave us for Chet HaEgel, but because Baruch Hu did not forgive us for Chet HaMiraglim at that point. So the punishment, that act of being scolded, of being scorned, so that came because of Chet HaMiraglim, not because of Chet HaEgel. This Shita of Tosfos is also found in the Ritva there, in Maseches Yevamos. The Ritva quotes it also, Peirush Rashi, the Avon HaEgel, Hiksha, Tovos, that they were already forgiven, and therefore they explain it's B'nei Dibas HaMiraglim, but it says 40 years, the Miraglim weren't there at the beginning of the 40 years, so that's a little bit Lav Dafka. Okay. Tovos points out that there's actually two ways that we know Klal Yisrael were forgiven for Chet HaEgel. One of them is because Baruch Hu said Salachti. The second one is because Baruch Hu gave us, as follows at least the Shita of Rashi, in his parish in Chumash, and many days in Chazal, that because we had the Mishkan. The Mishkan, after Chet HaEgel, was the sign, because Baruch Hu was willing to have his Shechina be Shora in us. Next week's Parsha, Parsha's Truma, V'asuli Mikdash V'shachanti B'socham, Rashi in Mukta Mucha B'Torah. Really, that act of Chet HaEgel came prior to the Mishkan. The Mishkan was a sign, because Baruch Hu forgave us. And different Rishonim quote different versions of this, but essentially what emerges, therefore, according to Tosfos, is Chet HaMiraglim was, in a certain sense, the worst Avera. Chet HaMiraglim was the one Gosh Baruch Hu was not willing to forgive us for. In contrast, Chet HaEgel, Because Baruch Hu was willing to forgive us for Cheda Ega. Because Baruch Hu was willing to say, Salachti Kidvarecha. Because Baruch Hu was willing to say, you can build a Mishkan and it's all going to get fixed. Now, if you are a little bit of a Chumash person, you may point out that Salachti Kidvarecha is actually not in reference to Cheda Ega. This, some of the Achronim point out, the phrase Salachti there is actually found by the Cheda Meraglim, which is a little bit of an odd phenomenon for Tosfos. So many Achronim point out, if you look at some of the Mefarshim al HaTorah and the Chizkuni and others, they actually interpret it like Tosfos, but that when the pasuk there says Salachti, that's actually a reference to the previous Slicha that Kosh Baruch had for Klal Yisrael at Chet HaEgel. The same idea is found also in Rabbeinu Tam and his Peirush al HaTorah in Parshat Baloscha and the Chidushim al HaTorah for Rabbeinu Tam. They quote this also, and the idea in general is found in a variety of Balei, in a variety of Balei HaTosfos. A variety of Balei HaTosfos. Okay. There are a lot of Achronim that are bothered by this. Chet HaEgel and Chet HaMeraglim. Chet HaEgel and Chet HaMeraglim. The Chasam Sofer and Yevamos is bothered by this. A lot of the Mefarshim are somewhat bothered by this. Let's preference the question a little bit. If you would have asked me what was a worse Chet, Chet HaEgel or Chet HaMeraglim, so I come here not to justify anything, but I assume many of us would have probably, I guess, on some level, intuitively thought that Chet HaEgel seems to be a little bit worse. On one level, Chet HaMeraglim seems to be an Isser of Lashon Hara. It seems to be questioning Eretz Yisrael and the value of Eretz Yisrael. And that's, of course, a terrible thing. But that's in contrast, Lichora, to Chet HaEgel, which was likely, at least for some Rishonim, a Chet of Avodah Zarah. That was a chet of really denying the Rabbonu Shel Olam in a much more fundamental way. So if you would have asked me which chet is considered to be worse, chet ha'egel or chet ha'meraglim, I probably would have said that the worst chet is chet ha'egel. That's the one with elements of Avodah Zarah. That's the one which really denies, in a certain sense, presence of Rabbonu Shel Olam. And in that sense, there are a variety of achronim that ask the kasha on Tosfos, why is chet ha'meraglim worse? Why is Kosh Baruch Hu willing to forgive and overlook Chet HaEgel, but he's not willing to forgive or overlook Chet HaMeraglim? What exactly is the pshat behind this day of Tosfos? With Tosfos like it has, as in Tosfos Rush, and it's Rabbeinu Tam, it's in a lot of different places in the Balei HaTosfos. What exactly is the Yesod? The Chor Rashi, what he says, makes more sense. That Chet HaEgel, okay, you know, I could have even heard a svara that Kosh Baruch Hu forgave by Chet HaMeraglim a little bit more than Chet HaEgel. Chet HaEgel involved death immediately for a lot of people. Chet HaMeraglim, in many ways, was a little bit more prolonged over the next 40 years. So why exactly the difference? Why is Chet HaMeraglim considered to be worse? So we're going to develop two mahalchim. The first mahalach is going to be a little bit, I would say, you know, it's like a two-step kind of a mahalach. The next mahalach we're going to see is more of a, what I would call a five-step mahalach. It's an amazing, in the world of Machshav, in the world of the Maral, it's an amazingly, I would say, intelligent, developed idea. It's a very, very powerful kind of an insight, but we'll try and we'll go one step at a time. Shlomo Fischer was one of the great giants, passed away about a year plus ago, the author of Sfarim Beis Yishai on Shas, as well as the Drushos Beis Yishai, a very, very, very major figure and major Talmud Chacham. We spoke about him and his Sefer, from Mahalchim they were in the past. When he passed away, we spoke about it on a Tuesday morning. He develops the following Yesod. It's the Yesod in Machshava, which he thinks the Yesod in Machshava can help explain the difference in Chet HaMeraglim and Chet HaEgel. He says like this. If you remember the last time that we had a Friday shir, we were talking about Reb Chaim Volozhiner and Nefesh HaChaim. And Chaim Volozhiner points out that when it comes to Mitzvahs Aseh, much as there may be a machlokas whether mitzvos tzichos kavana or mitzvos don't require a kavana, says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, in the end of the day, when it comes to mitzvos, what matters more is the maisa mitzvah. Your kavana is secondary to the maisa mitzvah. If you have great kavanas, but your maisa mitzvah is off, there's no question whatsoever, you're not yotze anything. If you do the maisa mitzvah without proper kavanas, so that's a discussion in Chazal, mitzvot tzichos kavana, mitzvot don't require kavana. That's more of a question. But the maisa mitzvah, that's really considered to be the ikker. Chaim Volozhiner goes so far as to say that's true even by tefillah, the uttering of the tefillah, the davening itself, is more significant than the kavana question. The uttering the words, that's really the ikker, says Chaim Volozhiner. That's Chaim Volozhiner. points out, Rav Shlomo Fisher, I hold that that's true when it comes to mitzvos aseh. When it comes to mitzvos aseh. But when it comes to a person's relationship to mitzvos lo saseh, I think maybe things flip. When it comes to mitzvos lo saseh, so then mere refraining from an act is not as significant as the question as to why you refrain from the act. That when it comes to mitzvos lo saseh, your kavana, if you have bad kavana, so that is at potentially significantly worse than just a bad action. Your kavana for lo saseh reflect a particular kind of an understanding. Your kavana for lo saseh, that can undermine a lot. He tries to prove this idea from a Gemara in Meseches Kiddushin and Daf Lamed Tes. He tries to prove this idea from a Rambam in Shmona Prakim, from a Rashi in there, that Iker Kiya Mitzvahs Lo Saseh, the Iker value of a Lo Saseh, is not that Lemaisa you didn't kill someone, but it's that you never had the intent, the Kavana, I don't want to kill anybody, I want to be fulfilled in Mitzvahs Hashem, that there the Kavana becomes more important. Suggest, therefore, of Shlomo Fisher, that for mitzvos aseh, the action is what matters. But for los aseh, what really matters, again, you can't do the action, but what really makes the aveira most severe is your kavana. Bad kavana corrodes. Bad kavana has the capacity to make much worse than any other particular action. Because of that, says of Shlomo Fisher, one step further. What was the chait of chait ha'egel and what was the chait of chait ha'meraglim? What was the chait of each of them? They were both incorrect actions on some level. They were both maisim that were not considered to be appropriate. But the difference is as follows. The Ramban and the Kuzari developed the idea that when it comes to chait ha'egel was a mistake in which their maisim were inappropriate to build the egel, but the kavana of Klal Yisrael was actually more l'shem shamayim. Some of the Mefarshim say it. Bnei Yisrael thought that Moshe was gone. Bnei Yisrael thought that Moshe was never going to come back. And they were looking for something to be able to have, like maybe for some Mefarshim, a new version of Moshe Rabbeinu. They were looking for something to have a physical manifestation of Ribbono Shel Olam. Their kavana was understandable, but their maisa was really terrible. In contrast, points out Rav Shlomo Fisher, if you look in Rashi al HaTorah, so Rashi al HaTorah underscores the fact that when it comes to Klal Yisrael and Chet HaMeraglim, Klal Yisrael and Chet HaMeraglim, you know what their Chet really was? Their Chet really was one even of Kavana. At the Meraglim, one way of saying it would be, even from the outset, their Kavana was not ideal. Even from the outset, they were going with inappropriate and incorrect intentions. That was really what they were doing. Because of that, says Rav Shlomo Fisher, I think I have pshat in Tosfos. I think the pshat in Tosfos is like this. Chet HaEgel and Chet HaMeraglim, so in a certain sense, they were both terrible aveiras. Why was Ribbono Shel Olam more quick to forgive for Chet HaEgel? Salachti, you can build a Mishkan, you can have a Mikdash, it's a sign, my Shechina, V'asuli Mikdash V'shachanti V'socham, I'll dwell within you, I'll dwell within you. That's one level. That's one level which is present. On the other hand, when it comes to Chet HaMeraglim, that was a bad kavana. And when it comes to Los Aseis, the main question for how bad a Los Aseis is what was the status of your kavana? They were both sins b'maisa, but one of them had a kavana l'shem shamayim, and one of them had a kavana that was very far from being l'shem shamayim. Therefore, Chet HaMeraglim was a more egregious kind of a sin. It was a sin not only b'maisa, but also b'kavana. And for lo saseh, kavana is what makes it so terrible. Kavana is what makes it so bad. So in that sense, that's why Chet HaMeraglim is worse. So suggests of Shlomo Fisher, that's pshat and shitas tosfos. Because when a person sins, eino doma, a sin where a person has the right intention and messes up, and a sin in which a person has the wrong intention. A sin in which a person has the wrong kavana. Derech Agav, I always think that there's a certain this helps a lot in human relationships. Helps a lot in dynamics. Sometimes, this again, if we're modeling ourselves after Ribbono Shel Olam in a Vlach LeBitrachav kind of a way, a person does something which hurts your feelings. A person does something which annoys me. A person does something which drives me crazy. So one of the questions is, are they intending to? Or is there something just off? Their intentions are not bad. There's something off on a level of ma'isa. Kim'at always, if somebody is bothering you, someone does something to hurt you, it's not the intent that they're, it's not malicious intent. Not that they're trying to drive you crazy and they want to eat. It's that even there's an offness that's present. There's a bechina of an off kavana. Okay, but that's not anywhere as severe as when there's that kind of intent. That's the mahalach of Rav Shlomo Fisher. Yeah.
Doesn't it seem a lot different than like being yavur yel yavur, which is not having intention, yet you still have to give your life for a lazar?
Okay. It would be the opposite of that. The shaila would be in those three, if he's really right. So why are those three so severe? And l'chora, again, if it's a Kiddush Hashem idea, which is for some Rishonim, it's a Chil Hashem Kiddush Hashem issue. That's not about your kavana. That's about the public impact of it, at least for some Rishonim.
It also
may have had elements of that. Yeah.
Can you explain how they had to write kavana by
Eid? Yeah, it was more that they didn't know what to do. They wanted to be close to Hashem. They lost Moshe Rabbeinu. So they wanted something to take the place of Moshe Rabbeinu. They knew they needed some physical manifestation of godliness in their midst, and therefore they built it to have some sort of a physical manifestation of godliness in their midst.
It wasn't for a different...
This is Machlokes Mishonim. But for the Ramban and the Kuzri, that's what it is. Okay. The Maharal develops a different idea. And the Maharal doesn't take it all the way there. The Maharal has a Yesod. He has two Yesodos. One in Gvuras Hashem, which is a Sefer on Pesach. The other is the Maharal in his Perush and Pirkei Avos. Rav Hartman puts it all together, to hold cup a little bit. I don't normally have things on the board for this, but it's an amazing idea. It's an amazing yesod, and it's one that will tie together a whole lot of things. I don't know if you have it on the sheet. I apologize. It's in a footnote in his parish on Gevurah Hashem. It's intense. It's very, very smart. It's very well developed. It's a particular style of machshava some of us may have a little bit less familiarity with. Okay. The Maharal and Gevurah Hashem. We have two different holidays. We have a holiday of Pesach and we have a holiday of Sukkot. Holiday of Pesach and a holiday of Sukkot. Writes the Maharal in Gevurah Hashem that Pesach and Sukkot each highlight a different idea and a somewhat different theme. A theme that relates to the world of Emunah. He thinks that all the Shalosh Regalim parallel three fundamental Yesodos in Emunah. It relates to Sefer HaYikarim. Sefer HaYikarim maintains that there aren't Yud Gimel Yikarim. There are three main principles of faith. But, says the Maharal, every Regal contributes something immensely fundamental to an idea of Emunah. Regal is called a Regal because it's more fundamental, like legs which hold things up. What is Pesach coming to teach us? Pesach teaches us about God's capacity. What Ribbono Shel Olam can do. The miracles of Kriyas Yamsuf. What can the Ribbono Shel Olam do in this world? Yecholes Hashem. Ayidei Osos Umovsim Ad Kriyas Yamsuf Shehayah B'Shvi Shel Pesach Uvo Node Bevirur Shehakol Biyecholto Ve'ein Chutz Mimenu. The Emuna of Pesach is the Emuna that Kadosh Baruch Hu can do anything. Kadosh Baruch Hu to see the power of Ribbono Shel Olam and what he can do. Parentheses, the Emunah of Shavuos is the Emunah of Nesinas HaTorah, the belief of Torah that comes, Misinai. What is the belief of Sukkot? What's the Emunah of Sukkot? The Emunah of Sukkot is because Baruch Hu put us in a Nani HaKavod, one day in the Gemara in Sukkah, because Baruch Hu took care of us. That is Mora al HaShgacha v'Hashmira Shehaya Aleihem. Sukkot reflects the idea of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's protecting us, Kadosh Baruch Hu's care for us. Pesach, the power of Hashem, also sumovsim kriyas yamsuf. Sukkot is Kesbaruchus hashkacha over us. Okay. Next step. The Maharal and Derech Chaim points out that what's the difference between Chet HaMeraglim and the Chet HaEgel? What's the difference? Points out the Maharal in Sefer Derech Chaim. In Chet HaMeraglim, what was Chet HaMeraglim? Chet HaMeraglim was B'nai Yisrael, the Meraglim claiming, Kadosh Baruch Hu can't do it. Ki chazak hu mimenu, mibli yicholes, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have the capacity to take on Eretz Yisrael. It was a questioning of what God could do. In that sense, points out Rav Hartman, Chet HaMeraglim is linked to Pesach. Pesach is about how Hashem can do anything, and Chei HaMeraglim were the Meraglim coming along and saying, I don't think HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do everything. It's too strong for us. They're too much for us. I'm not sure that we could do it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have the capacity to take us through. That was Chei HaMeraglim. In contrast, in a different Mahalach in Chei HaEgel, what was Chei HaEgel? Chei HaEgel was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not there to protect us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has abandoned us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has left us alone. There's now no more Moshe. We're sitting here at the bottom of a mountain. Moshe Rabbeinu hasn't come down. And now it's that we need something else to be there for us. We need a different God, a different being to be there for us. In that sense, Chei HaEgel comes along, and the goal of what Chei HaEgel really is connected to it's the failure of the message of Sukkos. Sukkos highlights that Baruch Hu is always there taking care of us. Chei HaEgel is a sin that emanates from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to have left us, and B'nai Yisrael thinking HaKadosh Baruch Hu left us, and now we're isolated, and now we're on our own. And that's the establishment of Hartman, that Pesach and Chei HaMeraglim are linked, and Sukkos and Chei HaEgel are also linked. Okay. Thus far, clarity, 1, 2, and 3. Basic point of clarity, yeah.
The
I said not Kuduri, it's a different Mahalakim in Chei HaEgel. Next. Only back into the Chuf. Yeah.
Yeah.
Say it again more.
יותר, מה שאר אומר שיותר טוב לחשוב שבמידה מסוימת שאין הקדוש ברוך הוא מאשר שהקדוש ברוך הוא לא חזק?
I didn't get there yet. לא ברור. נתחיל את זה בהמשך. Okay. No, באמת. I mean, that's part of the Mahalach, but we'll explain. Next part. Each of these sins was done on a different date in the calendar. The Mahalach is great because it's going to give you content for 100 different, things. Chei HaMeraglim, Chazal tell us in the Gemara in the Masechet Tanis, was done on Tisha B'Av. Balai Lahahu, that was a night when B'nai Yisrael cried, and their Bonus Olam said, you're crying not for on Tisha B'Av for a bad reason, we'll give you a good reason. Chei HaMeraglim took place on Tisha B'Av. In contrast to that, the Gemara tells the Maseches Tainis, Chei HaEgel took place on Shiva Asar B'Tamuz. Okay. This is where it gets even more impressive in a certain sense. Points out Rav Hartman like this. All these things are really linked. Why? Okay, this is pretty awesome. Why are they all linked? The Gra has a Yisod in Shir HaShirim. The Gra has a Yisod in Shir HaShirim. It's somewhat well known. The Gra says, when did we lose the Anani HaKavod? When did we lose the Anani HaKavod? The Gra says, we lost the Anani HaKavod on Shiva Asar B'Tamas. We lost the Anani HaKavod at the Chei HaEgel. And when the Gra does the Cheshbon, when did we get the Anani HaKavod back, says the Gra? Sukkos is Keneged Anani HaKavod. So points out Rav Hartman, there's a certain link here. The theme is God's control, God's care for, God's hashkacha over us. Sukkos represents God's hashkacha over us. Chei HaEgel is we sinned, we didn't recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always there for us. We sinned on Shiva Asar B'Tamuz. We didn't recognize Hashem's Hashgacha, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away the Anani HaKavod. When does it come back? On Sukkos. Because what does Sukkos all represent? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha over us. Baruch Hashgacha over us. Pesach is all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's control over us. It's smart Mahalach. It's all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's control over us. Chei HaMeraglim, sorry, Pesach was all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's capacity to do anything. Chei HaMeraglim was us questioning God's capacity. Took place on Tisha B'Av. Where do we see the link between Tisha B'Av and Pesach? Where do we see that Tisha B'Av and Pesach are linked? If Pesach is about God's capacity and Tisha B'Av is us questioning God's capacity. So where is the link between Pesach and Tisha B'Av? Answer, they always take place the same night of the year. The Shulchan Aruch writes, why do we have eggs on Pesach night? As a zecher to Tisha B'Av. As a zecher to Tisha B'Av. It's always the same night of the week. Tuesday night's the Seder, Tuesday night's Tisha B'Av. It's always the same night. Why would that be? Why would that be? Because why on Pesach are we invoking and remembering Tisha B'Av? Why is Pesach always the same night as Tisha B'Av? Answer. Tisha B'Av is a reminder of the failure of internalizing the messages of Pesach. Tisha B'Av is where we internalize the... Tisha B'Av is where we fail to internalize the message of Pesach. Pesach was a Kadosh Baruch Hu could do anything. Tisha B'Av began, it gets its status in Chedem Araglim, when we questioned God's capacity. When we questioned God's capacity. So, we have now, we're four or five steps in. Emunah, Kadosh Baruch Hu's capacity, that Emunah is where Klal Yisrael struggled in Chedem HaMeraglim, took place on Tisha B'Av, Pesach's connection to Tisha B'Av. Sukkis, Kadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha and care for us, that is, Chet HaEgel is the rejection of that in a certain sense, that took place in Shiva Asar B'Tamuz, and Sukkis, all about Ani HaKavu, God's protection, hashgacha over us. Just basic clarity thus far. 1, 2, and 3. Okay. Comes along Rav Hartman and says, and now let's figure out Pshat and Tosfos. Why is Chet HaMeraglim worse than Chet HaEgel? I get they're both fundamentals in Emunah, but I don't know, why is Mibli Yechol Eshel Hashem questioning God's capacity worse than per se? Why is that? Why is Chet HaEgel that worse than Chet HaEgel? Why is one per se worse than the other? Suggestive Hartman, an incredibly sharp idea. So please, there's something really powerful here. Okay. There's a link. Pesach, Chet HaMeraglim, Sukkot, Chet HaEgel. What is the direction of that link? And here is a very, very sharp idea. A very sharp idea with a very important message. He says like this. Okay. Pesach occurred right away. That's the beginning of Klal Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim. They had the Chag of Pesach. And they should have internalized a value. They should have internalized the value that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do anything. B'nai Yisrael saw Pesach. B'nai Yisrael saw the Esther Makos. B'nai Yisrael saw Kriyas Yamsuf. They walked through a Yamsuf. B'nai Yisrael saw everything. B'nai Yisrael could accomplish. They saw, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do. Which means that when Chet HaMeraglim took place, B'nai Yisrael had the learning opportunities. B'nai Yisrael had the capacity to see Ribono Shel Olam, what he could do, and they rejected it. They heard a shmooze on the topic of Yechol Es Hashem. They saw the miracles of the Ribono Shel Olam, and they were like, not for me. Okay, so that's one layer. Why is that so terrible? Because when you should have learned and you didn't learn, when you should have gained insight and you didn't gain insight, so that is something which is so severe. That's so severe. They had the opportunity and they messed up. So how does it work? Kadosh Baruch Hu taught us a lesson. What happened on Tisha B'Av v'Chet HaMeraglim? We made a statement that we didn't learn that lesson. That's why the sin was so severe. We should have learned and we didn't. So what's pshat there, Chagav? Why are we eating an egg on Seder night? It's not stam acute connection. It's saying, on this Pesach night, we want to actually learn the lesson. On this Pesach night, we want to not become like the Meraglim. We want a bit of a zecher so we can remind ourselves of what it looks like to fail, of what we don't want to be. I don't want this night, I'm eating an egg, to remember, we haven't always gotten it right. There's a message and a theme of Pesach, and we haven't always gotten it right. Pesach says that Kadosh Baruch Hu could do anything. And you know what happened as a result? We didn't learn. And because we didn't learn, we had a Tisha B'Av. And because we didn't learn, we have Avelus. Because we didn't. So you know what we do on Pesach night? We remind ourselves, look what happened. We didn't always take advantage of the opportunity. We sometimes messed up. I heard the Muster Shmooz. I saw the movie. I saw the miracles. I saw everything that was there. And I didn't take anything out of it. So as Baruch Hu said, that's a really severe sin. Because Baruch Hu can't forgive that, says Tosfos. Baruch Hu says, I'm not forgiving that right away. You messed up so badly. You didn't learn what you were supposed to learn. You had the opportunities and you failed. In contrast, points out Rav Hartman, and here is just an amazingly, amazingly sharp insight. Sukkis, the direction goes, it's the opposite direction. Klal Yisrael messed up. We leave in Nisan. When do we mess up with Chet HaEgel? Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. We have not yet had our first Sukkis. We have not yet had our first Sukkis. We leave in Nisan, we mess up on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. We have not yet celebrated Sukkis. What that means is as follows. You know why Chet HaEgel is not so severe? Not because one of these emunas is more fundamental than the other. They're all fundamental. They're the regalim. They're the basis of everything. You know why it's so? You know why it's so? It wasn't as severe Chet HaEgel. It was a terrible chet. And Chazal say punishments come because Chet HaEgel. But you know why? Because Baruch Hu could forgive it, but couldn't forgive, but couldn't really forgive. Says Tosfos the Meraglim. We didn't get the message yet. We didn't have the Musar Shmus yet. We didn't have the Musar Shmus. We didn't have the Sukkis. It was a 7-day time period focused on internalizing the message. Because Baruch Hu's Hashgacha over us is real. Because Baruch Hu's Shmira over us is real. We didn't get the real message. We never really heard the Shmuz. In that sense, number one, we aren't really held as accountable because I never heard the Shmuz. If I never heard a person give a Shmuz about what it's been doing during the Sheilah, if I never heard a Shmuz like that ever, so it could be that yesterday morning, so maybe I'm fine because yesterday morning, you know, whatever. I didn't hear anything about it. I didn't know anything about it. But it could be that once I heard that, so that removes your tainus p'tor. That removes your tainus. I didn't know. No, you heard something about it. You heard something about it. So what was the goal of Sukkis? In many ways, the goal of Sukkis came to address that problem. In many ways, the goal of Sukkis was saying, okay, I never said it to you explicitly. We never had it in a focused time period. But apparently you didn't get the message. Because Baruch Hu conveys through Sukkis, and then HaKavod, I always have a degree of Hashgacha over you. I always am going to be able to be there. I'm always going to be able to protect. That is part of what I do. That because Baruch Hu can be there and he can provide an element of protection, an element of awareness of what's there. So says Rav Hartman, that's the difference, that's the Omek HaPshat in Tosfos. Why is Chet HaMeraglim worse than Chet of Chet HaEgel? Not because of the severity of the sin. And it's not like Rav Shlomo Fisher's Pshat, that it's all really about your Kavana of one way or the other. It's not like it was a good Kavana or bad Kavana. The question was, should you have known better? Should you have known better? And it comes to Chet HaMeraglim, you saw amazing things. And you had a 7-day Pesach that was all geared. The entire Yantif was all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do anything. And you come along with the Meraglim and you're like, I'm not sure. I don't know if that can happen. Baruch Hu says that is very, very severe. In contrast to that, Sukkot, we hadn't yet had the Yakov. We hadn't yet had the time period focusing in on God's Hashgacha. We hadn't yet had that time period. We hadn't yet had that Shmir which took place. That we only got afterwards. Because Baruch Hu says, it's a terrible chet. It's a terrible chet. And you're still held accountable for it. But it's not as severe because I never gave you the shmuz. It's not as severe because you never had that yuntif kind of an experience. In that sense, part of Sukkot, what do we not really do on Sukkot the same way, I think? We don't focus on the sin of Chet HaEgel the same way. Again, Lechor, I think I would add. We don't focus on it. On Pesach, we focus on the Zecher. We have to remember, here we're not focusing on the same way. This is just, here's the lesson, and now you can get the lesson. There's no failed opportunity. There's no failed learning experience that we have to memorialize. This, you know, the exact same way. It doesn't click. It doesn't click exactly like that. Now, what's interesting is as follows. These were a couple of different mahalchim to explain Shitas Tosfos. What about Rashi Shita? Hare Rashi holds that Chet HaMeraglim wasn't as bad as Chet HaEgel. Rashi holds Chet HaEgel is considered to be worse. That Rashi holds it's considered to be worse. What exactly is going on? So a couple of things. Number one, it's really not so clear Rashi argues with Tosfos. They point out, Rav Yaffin in the footnotes in the Ritva Nivamas points out, that Rashi al HaTorah in Parshas Devarim, Rashi actually seems to quote our Gemara, that Kadosh Baruch Hu was scolding Bnei Yisrael, as being in reference to Chet HaMeraglim. That it could be that Rashi in certain places actually agrees with Tosfos, that it was Machmas Chet HaMeraglim and not Machmas HaEgel. Rav Yaffin suggests that Rashi must understand it's a Machlokas and Deyas in Chazal, whether it's Chet HaMeraglim or Chet HaEgel, but it's not even so clear that Rashi goes so extreme. What would be the pshato in Rashi? What would be the pshat in Rashi? So l'chora Rashi may assume something much more basic. The two mahalchim, and it's really two sides of chet. There are two ways of looking at severity of chet. Tosfos apparently is looking at things in a much broader context. What was behind your sin? What should you have known and what should you not have known? Tosfos is looking at severity of sin based on broader context, being able to view it as part of a larger picture. What Rashi l'chora is looking like, what Rashi's focusing on, it's almost like elements of Nefesh HaChayim or elements of Ariel's Ha'ara about the Gimel Chamuros, is that, says Rashi, maybe that's not all true. Meaning, maybe in the end of the day, the Maisa Aveira that you do is the most critical. It doesn't matter if you had good Kavana or bad Kavana. Ma'asecha is your problem. Yehuda Levi in the Kuzari is the one most associated with that general Mahalach. That the king of Kuzar is told, you know, kavanascha ritzuya, you have very good kavana, but ma'asecha is not good. That sometimes, ultimately, your actions matter. And in an objective ma'isa aveira perspective, yitache in the chere egel was just a worse sin. Chere egel was a sin of avodah zarah. Chere ragam, a sin of lashon hara, maybe it wasn't considered to be as severe. So in many ways, the machlokes about Chet HaMeraglim and Chet HaEgel, which was the real reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu was upset at us, which could Kadosh Baruch Hu really forgive or not forgive, what exactly is going on, underscores, it highlights a very important couple of ideas about the nature of Chet, what makes a Chet so severe, what makes a Chet less severe. For Rashi, it may be about objective Maisa Aveira. For Tosfos, for Shlomo Fisher, it may be about what was the nature of your kavana when you did the Aveira? And for Rav Hartman, it may have been about whether, what should you have learned? What were the experiences you've had that should have led you to make better choices? And instead, unfortunately, you made worse choices. Different, I think, perspectives about the nature of chet. Hope everybody is doing well. Have a wonderful Shabbos.